This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Almost 50 years ago, while he was a student at the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Don Nesbitt photographed Findlay Market for a class project. His photos, which captured a moment in time at the Cincinnati Landmark, are now the basis of a current exhibit at the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. A Look Back, Findlay Market 1966, is an exhibit of black and white photographs that preserves the everyday life of Findlay Market in 1966. Joining us to talk about the exhibit and the past, present, and future of Findlay Market are photographer Don Nesbitt, Findlay Market board member Mary Stegeman, and executive director of Agenda 360, and Karen Colley, Corporation for Findlay Market Communications and Program Director. And good afternoon. Thanks to everybody for being here.
Thank you.
You can join our conversation 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Karen, can you give us some of the history of Findlay Market?
Okay, sure. Well, Findlay Market is 160 years old this
year.
Old. So it's been in continuous operation since 1855. Construction started on the market in 1852, and just like today, there were some disputes around construction.
Of course.
Work slowdowns, probably, and so, but it's been in continuous operation since 1855, and it is Ohio's oldest public market.
Now, wasn't the construction technology that was used to build Findlay Market unique for its time?
It has that wrought iron, which is still, you can still see it in the market. That was the original to the market in 1852, and that was kind of a new technology at that time in construction.
And Mary, who was Findlay Market named for?
Well, General Findlay.
Okay.
The Findlay family had actually deeded the property to the city for the purpose of public market. It was at that time, public markets were the source of fresh food for everybody who lived in the basin. And there's actually an interesting sidebar to that, which is that the family put in the dedication of the property to the city that if we ever tried to sell it, that they would revert back to the family.
Really?
Yes. So it will always be a public asset, even though it's now run by a private nonprofit.
Now, Karen, what did the market look like back in 1855? It was open air, wasn't it?
It was an open air market. It was open air until around 1902, 1905. And then at that time, there was some concerns about the pollution, the growing urban pollution, and some concerns about food safety then already. And at that time, so then they enclosed it, and they also put in refrigeration, because prior to that, merchants were storing the stuff that needed to be refrigerated in the cellars of the breweries around the market in the Northern Liberties there.
Now, where did the Market House Tower Bell come from?
The Tower Bell came from the Pearl Street Market when it was closed in 1934.
Okay.
And an interesting story with that, too, is a few years ago, we took the bell down to get it cleaned. It had much accumulation of pigeon doo-doo, and Verdon Bell was going to clean it up for us, and they were anxious to see if they had cast the bell, because they didn't have a record of it, but they kind of assumed that they had, and it turned out when they cleaned up the bell that they had cast that bell. So yeah, it was moved there into the tower in 1934 when they closed the Pearl Street Market. And at one time, Cincinnati did have 9 public markets, because as Mary said, they were the source of food for the growing population of the city, and they were considered part of infrastructure, just like, you know, roads and schools. So they built public markets to serve the growing population of the city.
You had 9 total. There was the 5th Street Market, the Wade Street Market, Miami and Erie Canal Market that were among those. Mary, what caused those markets to go out of business?
Well, I think changing buying patterns and changing consumer desires. You know, we didn't call them consumers back then, but people's lifestyles changed. And, somebody named Barney Kroger got into the grocery business. I think, what's important to say about that is, even though all those other markets faded away, and I think the last to go really was Court Street, we are extremely fortunate here because we actually preserve the biggest and the grandest of all our public markets. There are other cities around the country who are now building markets like this one because they recognize that they serve a really vital function, particularly in core cities. And we've always had one. We have no idea what it's like not to have one.
So did the inclines have anything to do with the demise of the other markets? Was that part of the whole story?
I think I've read that. I don't know exactly what it had to do, but I think it did. But certainly, you know, suburbanization and the automobile and, you know, modern grocery stores had a lot to do with it as well.
What enabled Findlay Market to survive? Location, well, location, location, was it the old saying?
Well, you have to think about the density that we had in over the Rhine until quite recently. You know, at one time in its history, it was second only to Manhattan in its density. So there was a huge population that was served by that market. I would say that part of it was the tenacity of our merchants. You know, we have fifth and sixth generation merchants who still are at the market today. And if you've met any of them, they are stubborn and tenacious and they really believe in the market. So their commitment to it, I think, is part of the reason we're still here.
Donna, you did your photo project for DAP almost 50 years ago. Why did you decide to do a photo project on Findlay Market? Was it a place you'd gone to a lot before and you thought it would be a worthwhile subject for your DAP project?
Yeah, I had gone to the market regularly with my parents growing up on Saturdays. My dad's grandmother lived on Findlay Street. We would go and visit her and go to the market. So I was familiar with it. Actually, the project was during a 10-week class with Kazik Pozovsky, who was a well-known Cincinnati photographer, and he offered these classes. And I had just bought a camera and was exposing a lot of film, but I didn't have any pictures. So I took this class with him. I needed something that would endure for 10 weeks, because it was a 10-week class, and everyone had to do a kind of thesis thing. For the end, you had to pick a topic and cover it for 10 weeks.
What kind of a camera did you use?
I used Nikon F2 that actually would bounce if you dropped it.
I tell you, probably back in the days where the light meter wasn't built in the camera, it was a handheld light meter and that kind of thing.
No, there was a light meter.
Was there
in
one
this
inside
one.
It? Okay.
Yeah, but I did have a handheld meter too for really dark situations. All of the photographs were printed by me in my basement, in a dark room in my basement. And they're on Agfa Brevera paper, which is no longer made, was the greatest black and white paper ever exist. It had a lot of silver in it, which became a no thing to do because of the EPA and
the environmental concerns about it.
Yeah, they started taking silver out little by little, and eventually they stopped making the paper. But all those photographs were printed by me in my basement, and there's probably six extra prints of everything in that show.
What was Findlay Market like 49 years ago in 1966? What are your memories of it?
Well, there wasn't any parking, for one thing. There was no parking lot. People walked from great distances. We would drive, of course, and park near my grandmother's house and walk to the market, but people came with wagons full of children, which were full of groceries on the way back. They displaced the children. There's a whole series of pictures, little verticals in the show, of what I would call walkers. They're all carrying two shopping bags, and they walked from wherever they came from still, you know. But there is parking now, and that's attracted people from a lot further away.
Mm-hmm. When did the parking go in?
Well, it was part of the renovation of the market that actually was foreshadowed in about 1995. I mean, I think one of the things that we don't really recognize today is even with the great history that the market has, that in the mid-1990s, its future was really uncertain. It was the first time in its history that there were empty stalls. And there were a lot of other factors that were pushing on it, you know, some of the changes that had happened in the neighborhood. And so it was there was a great anxiousness about the future of the market. And I have to credit a man named Tom Jackson, who was working for the city at the time, for having the vision to say, we need a plan for the future of the market. If we don't build that plan, it won't be here for the generations to come. And so working very closely with all the folks who were living in Over the Rhine at the time, a lot of us in the community who were longtime market shoppers and cared deeply about it, we built out a master plan that really laid out what the future of the market could be, and it included parking, because we knew that in a contemporary world that if we didn't have it, we wouldn't continue to draw shoppers.
So that period in the mid-90s was a major turning point.
It was a major turning point, and it led to the renovation that was completed in 2004. It was supposed to be completed in 2002, but it took a little longer. As Karen said, it always takes longer. And it set the stage for what the market has become today, which is a destination market that draws more than 1 million visitors every year.
Don, of all the photos that you did for this exhibit and for your project, was there one photo that really stands out for you?
The photos that I'm most fond of are the children that hung around the market. I mean, they were always there, you know, neighborhood kids and children coming with their parents. And when I first started, every child you saw would say, take my picture. And I brushed them off, you know, said, well, I just have a limited amount of film, or made some excuse. And finally, I realized that by taking their picture, they didn't ask me the next time they saw me.
So it's a way to get them off your back.
So I took a lot of pictures of kids of, you know, every description. And when I started printing, I realized it's part of the market, you know.
Well, didn't you have to buy a lot of shopping bags from those kids too, Don?
Well, yeah, there were those guys, and mainly children that came with their parents, I think.
And you know, what I think's really interesting is, you know, in the '90s when the market was, you know, in a tough spot, you just didn't see kids and families there anymore.
Right.
And when the renovation was completed, I still think even 10 years ago, you didn't see the number of families and children and small children that you now see, especially on the weekends at the market. So that's been, to me, a real sign of the market's vitality and health, is that families feel good coming there and enjoy coming there and bringing their kids again.
Oh, like Mary was saying, it's a major tourist stop in Cincinnati.
Well, let's be clear, though. It would fail if it were just a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Its success depends upon people coming and buying fresh food every week to take home and prepare themselves, in addition to all the things that are foods ready to eat. You know, the markets that have become primarily tourist draws are not successful in the way that we are. We feel that we are a vital cog in the whole development of Over the Rhine, and we wouldn't be that if we were simply an attraction.
Karen, now tell me about the Corporation for Findlay Market and the role that it plays in the market's operations.
So when the plan was being developed to give the market its physical facelift, there was also, and I think Mary can speak to this too, because it was a Leadership Cincinnati class that brought up the idea, the suggestion of the management of the market being becoming under a nonprofit. And other markets at that time, North Market in Columbus and Pike Place in Seattle, had transitioned to nonprofit management as a way to really, again, kind of ensure their longevity and vibrancy. So that was part of the plan for the redevelopment of the market, was the creation of the nonprofit Corporation for Findlay Market to take over management of the market.
Mary, I think I believe it was you who mentioned multiple generations of ownership that still have their businesses mm-hmm. at Findlay Market. Mm-hmm. Do you know who the longest operating shop is at the market?
Yeah, it's Karen Eckerlin's. Knows. Yeah, Bob Lillis and Eckerlin's.
They've
been there from the beginning. So Bob is sixth generation, and two of his sons work in his stand, so they'll be the seventh.
But you know what's great is that Bob, who is still there and mm-hmm. is a phenomenal part of the market, is he's now been joined by all these newcomers who mm-hmm. have started with, you know, a single cart and now have a big stand. And so we have a whole new plethora of merchants coming who are new to the market, and they're balancing with these long-term legacy merchants, and it makes for a really interesting mix.
Don, did you ever think when you were doing these photos way back in 1966 that they were going to turn into an exhibit in 2015?
No. They were just for that class, and then they gathered dust in boxes for years and years until I decided to do this, the new market, and contrast it with the old photographs. But no, I never intended for him to be an exhibit or anything.
And you know what I think is interesting is that General James Finley, along with 24 other folks, established the first public library in Cincinnati. So the fact that there's now an exhibit about Finley Market at the public library, I think, is really kind of cool.
And this is part of a larger exhibit, correct, that actually tells the history of Finley Market?
Finley Market has a display there, mm-hmm. of a historical aspect of the market, along with the photographs. Yeah.
How long is the exhibit going to run for, Don?
It's there until the middle of March.
Now, we were talking about the Corporation for Finley Market, Karen. How does the corporation get its funding?
We have a contract with the city to manage the market, so about 40% of our funding comes from the city of Cincinnati. Another 50% comes from earned income, so the rents that the merchants pay, the parking, the ATM, the different kinds of fees and things, earned income, and then another 10% comes from philanthropic, from fundraising.
How many businesses are in the market today?
There are now 40 full-time businesses in the market, and you know, when it reopened in 2004, it was 50% vacant. So, and a lot of the storefronts around the street wall of the market were also vacant. So it's seen tremendous growth, and I think that's another thing about that makes public markets so special is they do have a public mission and a set of civic goals, and probably at the top of that is the incubation of small businesses. And the failure rate then of those businesses, I think, is significantly lower than the failure rate, as we all know, is quite high for a lot of small businesses. But at Finley Market, our failure rate is not nearly that high. It's a really great place to start a business and to get into business at a much, I think, less risk and lower cost than in conventional retail.
Do we know what the economic impact of Findlay Market is for the city?
It's estimated that about 25, might be inching closer to $30 million a year is spent at Findlay Market. And then indirectly, folks coming and visiting the market, going to other destinations in over the Rhine, are spending another additional like $15 million. So it's pretty significant.
What kind of impact do you think the streetcar is going to have for Findlay Market?
It will be profound.
Yeah.
You know, it will bring more and more people to the market. It'll increase traffic in the middle of the day, which is terrific, because one of the things that we've worked on for the last 10 years is increasing weekday traffic, because Saturdays are tapped out. So the streetcar is an opportunity to make it a 18-7 kind of market in the future.
We've got about 30 seconds left, Mary. What's the future of the market? Where is it going to go from here?
It could go almost anywhere, but I think Karen hit on it. I think what its greatest future is in helping to grow entrepreneurs and small businesses in this community who are all about experience and fresh food and making a very vital place for the core of our city to gather on a regular basis and celebrate what public markets are all about.
Don, Karen, and Mary, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Photographer Don Nesbitt, Findlay Market Board Member Mary Stegeman, and Executive Director of Agenda 360, and Karen Colley, Corporation for Findlay Market Communications and Program Director. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Here and Now is up next on 91.7 WVXU.